I want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1, and I want you to be finding verse 15. I'm going to start reading in verse 13, but for the context of our sermon today, verses 15 through 20. And I want us to continue this morning in our thought of our story, or his story being our story, and how God is at work in his people here at Calvary Baptist Church, and even more importantly, on the inside of that, why are we about to do what we're about to do, Lord willing, if God just shows favor on us this week and all of these prices come in like they're supposed to in this bid project? Why would we ask you beginning in May to join us at Barron County High School Auditorium rather than here for worship? Why would we ask all of our adult classes that do not have students, teenagers, or children to meet for Sunday school over there at 8:45 to 9:45 for May, June, and July, and for those families that have children and have nursery age kids and have teenagers, why would we ask them to meet on Wednesday nights at GCA? Why would we do that? Why would we spend money and fixing up this property, renovating it, and coming back then? Are we doing that for ourselves? Are we doing it for show? Are we doing it so that we can be more comfortable or have more comfortable chairs or a better place for our kids? Why are we doing what we're doing? And I want to say to you this morning that we're actually doing what we're doing this morning by him and for him and through him. Our God is incredibly faithful. What we are entering into is much more than a building, and we learned about that a little bit last week. We learned from the book of Nehemiah how this endeavor, this faith-forward endeavor, really gives us an opportunity to reestablish our witness in our community, and not just reestablish a witness, but to lay down some stakes again and say, we're here, we're not relocating. We have our eyes on our community and what God wants to do here. Our heart are not just in China. Our hearts are not just in Timias. Our hearts are not just in Russia or Montana or for America. We have a heart for our neighbors, and we have a heart for our community and people right here in Barron County and Metcalf and Hart and Allen and Warren and anywhere we may have people coming from. We have a heart for our people around us, and we want to see God be glorified in and through them as much as he is in and through us. And we learned from Nehemiah, and as the children of Israel were led by this gifted layman to reestablish those walls and to strengthen them, that was an opportunity for us to rely upon God's hand, right, to strengthen us. And so this is a larger endeavor than what you and I are just capable of doing. And so this truly indeed is a faith endeavor. His story, what Christ has accomplished for us, we could not accomplish on our own, right? And so it becoming part of us, we realize that he has to do that work in us and through us. I was reminded fresh and new this week that I was interacting with an email, and I got to talking to Brian, and I was just reminded, you know, none of us are great parents, right? All of us need help as parents. If you understand that, say amen. And there's none of us that are just great husbands. There's none of us who are just the perfect wives. There's just nobody that's the perfect son or daughter. There's not the perfect employee that exists that never makes a mistake. And we need Christ in every aspect of our life. And certainly we will in this renovation process. And it's an opportunity, we learn from Nehemiah, to rely upon God's hand to strengthen us. And then to overcome the challenges that are facing us. There will be some challenges along the way. When we move back on campus August 2nd, the B building, our education building, oldest building, it'll not be in its final state. They'll still be working on that. And so we'll have to navigate through C building. They're telling us this will all be done. And A building will be done. But B building, we'll have to navigate a little bit around that. And there'll be challenges there. There'll be people who'll say things like, why are you doing? What are you doing? You know, there'll be some people who will challenge you theologically and say, well, y'all are being disobedient and spending that money on brick and mortar or on paint or on carpet. You should be giving that money away, as if God can't fund missions and fund a space that is dedicated in his name. My brothers and sisters, God can fund it all. If you believe that, say amen. I just believe that. If you're here today and you have a personal need in your life, I just absolutely believe God can meet that need. He's not short in any conceivable way. And then we just learned from Nehemiah, it was an opportunity. Every step of this journey is going to be an opportunity for us to remember that it is God who will prosper us. It is God who will bless us. These are principles not only for us individually and for our families, but for our faith family. And so today I want us to think about from Colossians and Paul's letter to those believers at Colossae, I want us to think about how all that we are and all that we do is really by him and for him if we're going to be obedient believers in Christ. And then the thought that Paul leaves this particular context with, this particular paragraph with, is, and there's a reason that God's created, there's a reason that he is preeminent, and the reason is that he is going to be working through the blood of his cross to bring other people into right relationship with him, by him, for him, and through him. Let's begin reading in verse 13. God has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. If you're thankful that you have forgiveness of sins, say amen. He is the image of the invisible God. Who is this Jesus? Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him, and all things were created for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. I'm not planning on preaching on that, but you cannot read that and let that sentence escape you. For in Christ all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And he came for you. When you could not go to him, when you would not go to him, Jesus came to you. And he sought you out. And so all this fullness of the Godhead that is embodied in the person of Christ, he came to you so that you would know him. Well, is there anyone who needs to get saved? Is there anyone who needs to shout hallelujah? Is there anyone who needs to fall upon their face and just repent of their sins even now, thinking of that glorious thought? That in this Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and Jesus came to us. What an incredible, incredible thought. And then he goes on and he says, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Father, I'm really thankful that your story is our story, and that your life, death, resurrection, and soon coming return has captured us. It has captivated our mind, that a day cannot go by that without me thinking that, Lord, you paid my sin debt in full. I've been bought with a price. And that, God, you are working your purpose in us and through us. And God, our whole chief reason of existence is to bring you glory. And so, God, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you, Lord, for how you have come to us. And God, how you have shown yourself, demonstrated faithfulness, how you've revealed yourself to us. And that, Lord Jesus, you've made a way for us to be accepted by our Heavenly Father, to have access before him. No longer aliens, no longer enemies, but joint heirs with Jesus Christ, adopted sons and daughters of Christ. Lord, we thank you for that. And we pray today, Lord, that you would speak to us through Colossians chapter 1. And as we consider, Lord, how everything that we see and experience is by you, and ultimately, God, you have worked in creation for yourself, that through yourself, all of humanity may be redeemed and have the opportunity to hear and have the opportunity to understand a way, generally and specifically, a way to be saved. I pray, God, that you would show yourself very faithful here today and that you would work in amazing, amazing ways. And I ask these things in Jesus' name, and all of you said amen. As we take steps in fulfilling this master plan in the upcoming months and we move into phase one, we want to remember the purpose of this endeavor, and it's chiefly this: Jesus is preeminent. If you believe that, say amen. That word preeminent means he's first, right? Jesus is first before us. He's first before anything else in life. There is nothing that is at the head of Christ or over Christ. It is Jesus first. Therefore, we move forward by him. We move forward by him. He says in verse 16, for by him all things were created in heaven and earth. Who is this him that Paul is speaking of? He's speaking of Christ, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And he says it is by him all things were created. He said all things that exist, those things that are in heaven, those things that are in earth, those things, he says, that are visible and those things that are invisible. He said whether they be thrones, rulers, authorities, whether they be dominions, kingdoms, government, whether they be rulers or authorities, he says all these things have been created by him. God is the creator of all things. If you believe that this morning, will you nod at me like this? He is. There's not one of us who exists in this place today that God has not created. A matter of fact, before your mom and your dad knew you, the Lord knew you. He knows everything there is to know us. A matter of fact, the Lord says that before we were formed, he knew us. And if he knew us, he certainly knew the plan that he would have for us and what he's wanting to do in our lives. There are no accidents in this place this morning. You don't have to leave here at 9:45 and head to Sunday school or head out to your place of home or wherever you're going to be going with this thought on your mind: I wonder what my purpose in life is. Because God has created you and because he knows you, you need to know your very existence does matter. And it matters because God loves you and he has a plan for you. And the greatest thing that we can know is to know his plan by being saved, by knowing that our sins have been forgiven, that we know that we have been reconciled or we have been brought near to God, and God is pleased with us because we have received Christ. We've done what God would have us to do concerning his Son. We've repented of our sins and we've trusted Christ to be the Lord of our life. And so once you're saved, you're on this road of God's plan for your life. You have an opportunity to know him and to love him and to glorify him because he certainly has loved us, right? But then you also know that you can just come to that real place of real surrender to the Lord, where, Lord, I'm wanting you to just grow me, and God starts sanctifying us. And that's where we start saying, you know, I don't understand that Bible. See if this sounded like any of you. I know when I got saved, I thought, prior to salvation, I could read the word, I just wouldn't understand the word. I had to have somebody to explain it to me, and I was just afraid that if I picked it up and started reading it, it wouldn't make any sense, right? And most of the time, we pick up things and pick up the Bible, we want to know who did Cain and Abel, right? Who did they marry? We want to find up, open the book of Revelation and find out, you know, is Russia this great bear coming down from the north upon Israel? We ask questions like that. We wrestle with those type of things. And here's the truth of the matter. When we open God's word, God just wants us to come to him and to know him and to see his plan for our life. And so we pick up the word and we say, God, we don't really understand it. We don't know it, but we're going to start giving ourselves to the word and allowing you to start to grow us and mature us and to teach us and to instruct us. And God just begins as we surrender our lives to him. We turn from our sin and he allows us to be born again. He begins to just grow us. And then we just find complete satisfaction as he grows us in realizing God wants us to serve him. So if somebody says to you, why were you born? You should just say, I was born because God created me, and he's created me to worship him and to glorify him. And they say, well, what else is going on in your life? You say, you know what? I'm just learning how to grow in Christ and be a better disciple, a more faithful disciple today than I was yesterday. And all of my satisfaction is in Christ. It really, really is. I was telling the boys yesterday, I was saying, guys, just begin with Christ and end with Christ. We were talking what a beautiful day it was. We had opportunity to mow and get out and do some neat things yesterday. And I was just saying to them, you know what, guys? It's hard to beat Jesus. And it just really is hard to beat Jesus. Worship him today. Thank him for this sunshine. Thank him for this beautiful day. Thank him for the opportunity that we have, because there's no one like Jesus. If you believe that, say amen. He's the creator of all things. He's the creator of all things in the past. He's the creator of all things that are being created even now in the present. You say, is God still working in creation after he worked in the 6 days of creation and he rested? Are you saying God's still creating today? Every day, God's creating, right? And so there's babies being born and there's new life coming to work and there's new ministries being launched and God's at work creating things now, right here in the present. And God will continue to create things in the future as well. God is always establishing his kingdom and building his church. He is, verse 18, he is the head of the body, his church. The word church is ekklesia. Now watch this. That means the local assembly of believers. God is head over us here. Aren't you glad that you guys don't have to just trust me or follow me and then watch me fail you? You have this Lord, this Jesus, who is head of the church that you follow, and that he leads this body. And so he leads us in that wonderful way. And God is building his church. He told Peter that in Matthew 16. He said to Peter in verse 18, I tell you that you are Peter. And then he says, Peter, upon this rock, referring to himself, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Aren't you glad that God is continually in this creative mode? He has not only worked in creation in Genesis, but he continues to work in creation today, and he is building his church. If I had my phone in my hand, I would read you a tweet this morning from Vance Pittman. He was tweeting out that, listen to this, that there are about 2 million Muslims in Indonesia, 2 million Muslims a year in the islands of Indonesia that are coming to faith in Christ. Islam is reporting that they're losing, if I'm not mistaking this tweet and I'm remembering it correctly, that they're losing one Muslim every 5 seconds to Christianity. That the gospel is spreading in Indonesia and the Lord is building his church. If you're glad of that, would you say amen? And we think, you know what, Islam's just on the rise. They're going to take over everything. I want you to know Jesus can conquer Islam. And I'm grateful for that. The Lord is building his church. Everything, the Bible says, is by him. For by him all things were created. That means nothing was created that the Lord did not initiate. If you say, well, then why is there so much evil in the world? Because of the fall, because of our human responsibility and our rebellion, there was the fall. But God is going to restore, and he is going to redeem, and he's continually making all things new. God is building his church. God has been at work here at Calvary down through the years, and he's been at Calvary through tough times. How many of you were here in the 1970s? I really can't say this at 10 o'clock because there's like one or two people that are here at 10 o'clock. How many were here at Calvary during the 1970s? Will you raise your hand? I believe it was in the 70s that the church split, and it split not quite down the middle, but it split, and they had a charismatic pastor, and there were folks who was wanting to lead the church in a charismatic way. And I hear that story every time that I talk to Jimmy Mannion, more than 5 minutes, and he tells me of that story. And the church went through a very difficult time back then, right? And they had to try to, as a new church plant, as often new church plants do, they struggle with identity and who are they and what are they going to believe and what are they going to practice. And so as they were going through that in their formative years, as they were learning and growing as a people, the church body split. There were times after that I've heard the story of William Shaw's wife having to call and get the deacons together and say, who's going to ante up to pay the preacher this week? And they would rob Peter to pay Paul, right, so they could keep the preacher paid back during those times. They didn't know what they were going to do, but God continued to be faithful to them in tremendous ways. The church, while it's not had near as many pastors as a lot of churches have, every time there's been a change in pastors, God has seemed to bless that, and God has seemed to minister in that in tremendous ways. And so he's used different men in different ways to lead the church. The church went through a time where the deacons were viewed as a deacon board. The deacons led the church. They made the decisions of the church. They handled the business of the church. And just the deacons were viewed more as an administrative group than a ministering group. And sometime back before I came in the 90s and the 2000s, the church went through a transition there, and the deacons went from being this administrative group to this group who has a heart to serve. And what a tremendous heart of service our deacons have. I normally will get to a hospital or I'll get somewhere, and it's not uncommon for me to get the phrase, my deacon's done been here, my deacon's done called, my deacon's already caring for me, my deacon family brought us some food or took us here. And I just think that's a tremendous, tremendous blessing of the Lord, and God navigated those waters and continued to bless. I share those stories to tell you that the list could go on and on, how the Lord has been with our faith family, not because of us. Are you hearing me today? But in spite of us. Can I get an amen? In spite of us, God has demonstrated himself faithful. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth. And so this renovation and relocation will not only be done by him, but it'll also be done for him. Why are we doing what we're doing? Why will God bring to pass as we step out in faith and obedience? We are doing it for him. That last portion of verse 16 says, all things were created through him, and all things were created for him. You and I were created for him and for his glory. I asked Justin if he could teach our congregation that song that we opened up with today, Open Up the Heavens. I heard that song, and man, I absolutely fell in love with that song. The idea of the Spirit of God bearing witness from one believer's heart to another, and his presence being here in a very tangible, real way, Sunday after Sunday. Why do we pray for such things? Why do we sing to God like we do? We do that for Christ, because all things were created through him and for him. Are you listening? If you are, say amen. I really want you to get in here close. There are normally two views in life, in the Christian life. One view is that everything that has been created and everything that is new must be bad. And it must be of man, and it must be by man, it must be for man. It's this view of a very small God and a very big man or woman who can figure all that out. And there's this other view that says, no, all things are not evil or bad, but all things exist for the glory of God. Do you believe that this morning? If you do, say amen. God is this incredibly good God who has chose to work in creation and even create you and I, and then come to allow us to know him so that we may cherish and delight in this opportunity of not only knowing him, but realizing this time and space that he has put us in. Oh, my brothers and sisters, stop wishing for yesterdays. Stop wishing for the 1960s and 50s and the 1930s and the 1910s. Stop wishing for the 1800s. Stop wishing for the 1700s. Stop wishing for the 1500s. Stop thinking that life was better when everybody rode a donkey or a horse and pulled a carriage. It was not better then. I would never make it to Florida to see the ocean on a horse and buggy. Can I get an amen? By the time I got there and got back, it would be bad. So if you're here and a communal way of living, that rejects that all things were created by God and for God, appeals to you because you're not engaging the time and space that God has put you in, you need to say today, God, I believe that 2015 was created by you and it was created for you. And God, you are at work in this time. And if this time did not need to exist, my brothers and sisters, God would not allow it to exist. Are y'all tracking with me? So if you say, preacher, where are you going there? I'm going to say that God has blessed us with this time, and he's blessed us with this space. Can I tell you how much easier it would have been on me as a pastor if we would have just stayed up in that front sanctuary, and when we got full, just say we're doing all we can, and that's all we can. We're just going to stay par for the course, and we're just going to let people find another place. It'd have been a lot easier. It'd have been a lot easier if people didn't have to come and work and turn this fellowship hall, multi-purpose building, into a place of worship. It'd be a whole lot easier if I wasn't having to work on schedules right now and meet with teachers and meet with folks and to be able to say, you know what, we're going to go over here to Barron County and God's made this available to us. We're going to worship there. We're going to do Sunday school there. It'd be a lot easier if you say, well, preacher, you're nuts. Why didn't you do that? Because I believe Jesus is worth more than that. I believe Jesus is worth it all. And so we see that we should do all things for him because all things were created through him and for him. Let me preach the text and not just try to apply truth. Jesus is preeminent, verse 17. He is before all things. He is before all things. That phrase means he's first. And one of the ways that you can begin to understand God's plan for your life is to just make Jesus first. When Jesus first is first in your life, things are really good. When Jesus is first before your husband, first before your wife, first before your children, first before your work, first before your recreation, when Jesus is first, things seem to go really well. They just do. When you give Jesus the first part of your day and the first part of your finances and the first part of your relationships and you give him the first part of your mind and the first part of your heart and you just say, Jesus, I just want you to work in my heart and my life first. You be preeminent. We begin to understand that Jesus is worthy of our worship. He's worthy of dedicated space. I'm thankful that some time ago, I don't know when, no doubt in 58, 59, 60, this parcel of land up here on Columbia Avenue and Cherry Street was dedicated for the use of God's glory. And then every time there was a house that was bought or land became available, and that land just began to open up and the church purchased it, I know every time we dedicated that land to the Lord and said, God, thank you, here it is. This ground in which you and I are sitting in today is not holy. This wood is not holy, even though it's formed in the shape of a cross. The carpet's certainly not. The chairs are not. They're just wood and metal and cloth and fiber. But this space was dedicated for the glory of the Lord. It's just sort of like when we dedicate our children and we dedicate our hearts and our lives. It means that we've set it apart for the use of God. And I am so thankful that God meets us here in this place, whether it's cool one minute and you're shivering like this, or whether you're wiping sweat the next minute and because it's hot in here, whether you've got a pink chair or a blue chair, I'm thankful that God meets us in this place. If you're glad of that, say amen. He really, really does. And Sunday after Sunday, we gather here to acknowledge Jesus is preeminent. And we worship him and we invoke his presence. We give to him, we sing to him, we pray to him. We learn from his word. We bear witness one to another as we experience koinonia of fellowship in the body of Christ. And so, as God gives us favor to move forward, we're going to come back, Lord willing, to a dedicated space. And listen to this. The other night, I drove out to Barron County, and I pulled up in front of that auditorium. If I'd had a key, I'd have went in there, and I said, God, if you're leading us here for 12 weeks, Lord, I want to meet you here. I want to meet you here in this auditorium. And here's what I asked the Lord to do. I said, Lord, never allow this auditorium to be the same again. And he reminded me of when I was pastoring Siloam, and we had a choir with about, I don't know, 25 people in it. And they wanted to do this big Christmas thing. And we knew our little church there at Siloam couldn't hold it. And one of the people there at Siloam said, I think we can get the auditorium. And so we went over to that Barron County auditorium way back then, right? Way back then. And when we went back over there in the early 90s, we sang for three nights, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. The choir did this. We had moving parts. We had live sheep, goats. I mean, it was a blowing and going thing. And our choir was singing. And there were people in that auditorium who gave their hearts and lives to Christ. So I'm sitting out there the other night, and I think, Lord, when we're away this summer, and if we're here, would you save people in this place this Sunday night or this summer and never allow it to be the same? We come back, things will look different. Hopefully, we'll be able to function and navigate better than we can now. Hopefully, we can all be together in one room and one space at one time with two Sunday schools, and we can all worship together and have room to invite friends to come. Community to come and say, we want you to come and be a part of what God is doing here in this place. Jesus is preeminent. And then Paul said this, not only is he before all things, but he says, and in him all things hold together. Jesus is all powerful. Jesus holds your life together. And he is doing that. Whether you acknowledge it or not, if Jesus did not hold your life together, you'd not be together today. Jesus has this uncanny way of bringing peace in the midst of crisis and storm. He has this uncanny way of reminding us in times of laughter and in times of fun and joy, real humor. He has a way of reminding us that it is not only by him, but it is for him. Jesus holds our lives together. Jesus holds our faith family together. He surely does. Why? Because he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He holds together our church. And I'm thankful he does. And so you're going to be receiving materials and letters. Our teachers got this stuff the other night about our Sunday school small group. So if you say, Pastor, if we're meeting in the Barron County High School auditorium, where are we going to do Sunday school? And so if you're listening, say amen. Stand to your feet. I do not want you to miss this. And then you're going to get it again. If any of you are dozing, it's going to be hard for you to doze standing up, all right? So now listen close. How many of you, you do not have teenagers, students, children, nursery, or babies, you don't have any of them in your home that you're responsible for on Sunday mornings? If you don't have any children or students in your home, will you raise your hand? Listen to how good God is. You all will meet every Sunday morning at 8:45 to 9:45 at Barron County High School. We thought we may have to have you away from there, but God's opened up and gave us, I think, 8 or 10 classrooms. So we've got room not only for nursery, but we've got room for nursery for worship, but we've got room also for adult Sunday school. So if that's you, you'll meet for Sunday school, 8:45. You just come to the auditorium. There's going to be signs. Our ushers meet this Wednesday night. They're going to have maps. They'll show you right to the room. And all the rooms are pretty close to the auditorium. God is faithful. If you're glad of that, say amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Stay standing. How many of you, I about forgot our young group, how many of you have teenagers? You have children, you have toddlers, nursery age children that attend Sunday school. If you have children that age, will you raise your hand? Raise them high. Okay, you will meet for Sunday school. Your adult class and your children will meet for Sunday school on Wednesday nights from 6 to 7, 7:15 at Glasgow Christian Academy. And we got plenty of rooms. We've got nursery rooms. We got kids' rooms. So kids, if they're in first and second grade, they'll meet in a first and second grade classroom. Third and fourth graders meet in third and fourth grade classrooms. Preschoolers meet in preschool classrooms. And there will be classes for our adults as well. So you'll meet on Wednesday nights and be able to do gospel project and your Sunday school material and all of that. And so with children and teenagers, Wednesdays at 6. If you don't have children and teenagers, Sunday mornings at 8:45. If you've got it, go like this. All right, take a seat right quick. I got about 2 more minutes. You say, Preacher, why did you share that right then when we were talking about For Him? We're going to ask you to do Sunday school at a different time and different place for Christ. For Christ. Not primarily for your church, for your class or for your leadership team or for our faith family, but we want to do it for Christ because he's deserving. And then last but not least, I want you to look at verse 20. We are endeavoring to do what we're doing not only by him, because of him, for him, but also through him. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This project is not just by him and for him, but it's really for others who have yet to come to know Christ. Boy, I love our senior adults. I really do. I'm trusting the Lord's going to bless us in such an incredible way. We can do phase one, and man, that thing be paid for. And then we're working on senior adult classes right here, walking everything ground level with an elevator. I'm praying for that. And I'm excited for people who have bad backs and sitting in these tough chairs to have good chairs. I'm really excited about that. But I am more excited, and I know you senior adults are as well. I'm excited to be able to renovate a campus, to be able to say to our community, this project is by him, for him, and it's for you. We are making space for you. We are trying to demonstrate tremendous hospitality for you, and we want you to come, and we want you to be able to hear. We don't want you to navigate a maze and wonder, how am I ever going to find my kids once I drop them off? We want our community to be able to come and have an ease of campus to flow through, something that makes sense, that our teenagers are furthest away, and then our children in a secure children's building, and our nursery, our babies are right here above us, right? And so if you need to get to them, you can get to them. And then a place where we can all worship here together. This project is for others. This project is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for us to demonstrate a ministry of reconciliation, sharing the gospel with others. That's why Paul said, 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us this wonderful ministry of reconciliation. That is, Christ, that in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. Through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is an opportunity to demonstrate how all things are by the Lord and for the Lord and for others. And we as ambassadors of Christ who have been reconciled by the blood of the cross of Christ, we've been made right with God. We've been made near to God, brought near to God, and we've been reconciled. There's peace between God and us because of Christ. We now have this wonderful opportunity to be ambassadors to share with others. And so this is just a real fundamental part of us continuing to see the full weight of the gospel come to bear on our community. And you all have been doing that, and you're going to continue to do that. We're going to continue to do that as we move forward. Friday afternoon after Charlene's funeral, we were back here with the family, and when we pulled up, there was a young guy that had come by the other day for help, and he just was shuffled around, and so there were some people here at the church ministering to him, and he was just out of jail, had no place to go. He was a criminal, yes. Preacher, were we helping a criminal? He was a criminal, yes. Was he lost without Christ? Yes. Was he a sinner? Yes. Are those the very people God calls us to help? Yes. And so we were trying to help him, and no longer could we be getting him help. Then here come another guy that had an eviction notice. If he didn't get his rent paid by Monday or Tuesday, he was $85 short on it. They were going to kick him out of his place. And I just thought to myself, our church family has a heart to help and make a difference in people's lives like that. And we're doing it, and we want to continue to do that. We want to say to a community that has a high pregnancy rate for unwed mothers, we want to say to them, you do not have to get an abortion. You do not have to just go and have that baby and then live out on the ridge and never get educated. You know, you could have that baby and give it up for adoption. You could come to know Christ and have that baby. You could come to know Christ, your boyfriend could come to know Christ, and you all could get married in Christ, and you could raise a Christian family. There's real hope to be had there, right? And for people who are struggling and battling depression, or they're battling drugs, or their addictions, whatever kind of addictions they are, we can say to them, you know, there's real help to be had there. And you all are making a difference, right? So through ministries like Heart Cry, you guys are making a difference. Our teachers are making a difference in the public schools. Our teachers are making a difference at GCA. Our people who own businesses and are in leadership are making a difference in those businesses. And we need to continue to pray, God, help us to be reconcilers. As we have been reconciled to you, God, help us to be ambassadors to our community so that others may be reconciled to God through the blood of the cross. If you believe that to be true, say amen. Stand to your feet today. The invitation this morning is, if you're at your place, if you're at a place in your life to where you do not recognize that all things are by him, if you still think life is by you and about you, I want to give you an opportunity and invite you to lay that thought and to lay that heart down and to say, God, I recognize according to your word today that the Bible says all things are by you. And then I want you to recognize that all things are for him today. Much more than just a faith forward master plan project, your life is for him. Your job is for him. Your marriage is for him. Your singleness is for him. Everything about you is for him. And so will you surrender that to him fresh and new today? And then ask him, say, Lord, use me as an ambassador. Just work through us to others who see no purpose of coming to worship. God, use me to communicate the gospel. The best part of the ministry God's called me to is when I get to share the gospel with people. And so I drafted a little boy needing a catcher. And he lost his mom a couple years ago. And in talking to this little boy and texting back and forth with his dad who works second shift. And so till yesterday, I've only texted his dad, never seen his face. But I found out through the little boy last week that his dad was raised in Chicago. And so I texted him and I said, hey, Rick, I just learned that you were raised in Chicago. I said, I was raised in Chicago. And he texted back and said, no way. And I said, yeah. I said, Southwest Side, Curie High School. He said, I moved off before I went to high school. He said, I was raised in Maryville, Indiana, or I went to high school in Maryville, Indiana. He said, but I know where Curie High School is at. I said, I really enjoy having Seth. This kid's just sort of struggling. And his dad's working every conceivable hour he can and every bit of overtime he can because he has a single income and he's trying to raise his family. And so yesterday I meet him for the first time. And Jacob has on a Blackhawk t-shirt, hockey, Chicago Blackhawks t-shirt. And Rick says, what a cool t-shirt. And he pulls up his sleeve like this and he makes a muscle and he's got the Blackhawk logo on both of his biceps. And I think, yep, he's a Chicago hoodlum for sure. And yesterday I was able to say to Rick, Rick, I don't know if you get off very many Sundays. I don't know if Seth told you, but I'm a pastor. He said, I'm so glad you drafted my son. And I said, well, we want to minister to you. I'm coaching baseball. I need a pitcher and a catcher. Can y'all hear me? And right in the middle of that, here's ministry opportunity to share the gospel. Our communities are full of Ricks and Seths. Full of them. And we need to get to them and say, you know, we're doing what we're doing by him and for him and for you. Won't you come and see? Won't you taste and see that the Lord is good? God, you are amazing, amazing, amazingly incredible. Lord, you do more than we could ever ask for, more than we could ever imagine. God, I pray for these dear people today that you would work in them and that they would know you and know your peace and know your joy and your satisfaction. God, I pray that you would minister in powerful, powerful ways. God, we lay this master plan at your feet once again. We ask favor, God, for the bid process, and we ask, God, that we would do what we do on this dedicated piece of ground, God, for your glory and your glory alone. Lord, we pray that we acknowledge that if it's to be done and it's to be done well, it'll be done by you. And God, we recognize and understand that it'll be for you. And then God, I pray that you will use it for others, that we might share with them the wonderful gospel and that they might be reconciled to you. So God, would you allow us to decrease? And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would increase in this place. Help us to go and tell and invite people to come and see that the Lord, he is God and he is good. Faith family, if you believe it, say amen. Lord, we love you and we commit these people to you today. We commit the Sunday school hour to you today. And God, we commit the next service to you. And Father, we pray that you would have your way in the hearts and lives of every man and woman in this place. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. And you all said amen. On your way to Sunday school,